Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain, and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
Colon cancer is considered one of the most preventable but least prevented cancers. That's why screening for colon cancer is critical. Sometimes people want to avoid the drama of screening with the colonoscopy. You know, the prep, the downtime, all of it. Thankfully, there's the Cologuard test, a non-invasive screening option for adults 45 and older at average risk that is delivered right to your door. Early detection is critical. When caught early, colon cancer is survivable in 90% of the cases. With the Cologuard test, the process is simple. The test is delivered to your door, you send the sample back to the lab, and get results within 2 weeks. The best part? The Cologuard test is covered by most insurance plans. The Cologuard test is intended to screen adults 45 and older at average risk for colorectal cancer. Ask your healthcare provider about screening with Cologuard. Cologuard is available by prescription only. Visit Cologuard.com to learn more.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The Great Irish History Book is an illustrated look at Ireland's rich history, from pre-Christian Ireland to the Home Rule crisis to the Celtic Tiger. The Great Irish History Book touches on all of Irish history's greatest hits. Historian and broadcaster Miles Duncan is the author. Miles, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
It's great to talk to you again. Now, this book is, it does exactly what it says on the tin.
I hope so. It's aimed at an age group of between 8 to 12, which is not my kind of typical age group when it comes to writing. I'm sure you'd agree. But yeah, it covers everything from the Megalosaurus, prehistoric Megalosaurus, one of our few dinosaurs, right up to Silicon Docks. So as you say, it covers pretty much, well, I hope, all of the greatest hits in between.
Yeah. Now, the Megalosaurus was a meat eater. There was another Aurus that could have been eaten by the Megalosaurus.
Yeah, I speculate that the Skeletosaurus, which was a vegetarian, probably vegan, I suppose you would say, could well have been a Skeletosaurus burger, which would have been... The book is full of bad dad jokes, as I'm sure you're aware. That's just one of the very bad dad jokes, one of the worst of the dad jokes. But yeah, I'm not sure if the Megalosaurus and the Skeletosaurus ever, their paths ever crossed, but if they did, the Skeletosaurus was considerably smaller, and I think the Megalosaurus, in a Skeletosaurus and Megalosaurus fight, the Skeletosaurus definitely would have come off worse.
Now, the Viking splash people, they are guilty of misrepresentation.
They are guilty of misrepresentation on one level. I suppose they're guilty of a number of misrepresentation. One is the helmets. The helmets, for example, we think of Viking helmets with these horns sticking out from either side. That is completely erroneous. That is something that is down to a costume designer, I suppose, who would have been responsible for designing costumes for Wagner's operas and decided that these Viking helmets, they're a bit insipid. Let's pep them up a little bit. So let's give them horns. So that's the image that we have of the Vikings, of these horned raiders coming and pillaging and burning and waving axes over their heads. I mean, the horns would have got away in the axe. Would have got in the way of the axes had that been the case. Yeah.
Now, you go through history in a very kind of it's almost a gossipy way. I mean, the coming of the Normans, for example. There's a woman involved, And we're not sure whether she went willingly or whether she was abducted.
That's going back a tiny bit. That's Dervagilla O'Rourke. So, yeah, that's really what sparked the enmity between Tiernan O'Rourke, the king of Breffni, and Dermot McMurrough, who was the king of Leinster. And essentially, I think what you're getting at is the fact that Tiernan O'Rourke invaded Leinster, sent Dermot McMurrough scurrying. He goes to Henry II. He says to Henry II, can you kind of borrow a few of your Norman lords because I want to get my kingdom back? Henry II says, yeah, okay, right, so off you go. And that prompts the Norman invasion. But prior to that, the interesting bit of gossip, there's definitely gossipy. The interesting bit of gossip is that Dermot McMurrough had invaded Breffni and had taken away Dervagilla O'Rourke, who was the wife of Tiernan O'Rourke. The question is, though, historians are not really certain whether she was kidnapped or whether it was all prearranged, and whether she was taken from her husband by somebody that she wanted to go away with. The clue in all of this, or the key perhaps to all of this, is that when she was kidnapped and when she went with Dermot McMurrough, she took all her furniture with her. So what do you think? What do you think?
Well, this is why I found the book so entertaining. And here's another question. And, you know, for those up north who celebrate King Billy's great win at the Battle of the Boyne, and often, you know, in the 20th century, certainly, and probably still going on in the 21st century, one of the mantras would have been F the Pope on that, you know, from that side of. Turned out the Pope was on their side.
Well, precisely. I mean, this is one of the reasons why I love Irish history and why it's so incredibly complex, and why there are so many misconceptions and preconceptions and erroneous conceptions out there. And, you know, historians love to puncture those. And this is one of them. Because the Battle of the Boyne, for example, and the Williamite Jacobite Wars were in Ireland were part of a wider European war. In that wider European war, William of Orange was opposed to the French king, to King Louis, as was the Pope. So the Pope was on the same side as William of Orange. After the Battle of the Boyne, when King James was defeated, when the news got as far as Rome and got as far as the Vatican, they started ringing the bells in all the churches in the Vatican to celebrate the victory. This is the Pope, I remind you, and I remind your listeners of a Unionist persuasion, this is the Pope celebrating the victory of King Billy at the Battle of the Boyne.
So many personalities you go through, and some are heroes, some are villains. When it comes to mathematics, William Rowan Hamilton, Biddy Early, who might have got herself
burnt
for being a witch.
Yeah.
But here's a great one. I've often wondered this, and you have kind of answered my question. Daniel O'Connell and other major politicians and the monster meetings. If these crowds were so big and there were no amplifiers, there was no electricity, there were no loudspeakers, how did the people at the back of the crowd know what Daniel O'Connell was saying?
Yeah, it wasn't Bruce Springsteen at Croke Park, that's for sure, with the huge, huge amplifiers that are, you know, bigger than about 25 people. Yeah, what they did was, obviously, O'Connell was on the platform. He was making his speech, and he was an orator, and he could talk very loudly. He was used to, you know, browbeating witnesses in court. But, you know, with the best will in the world, he was only going to get as far as the third or fourth row. And there were literally thousands of people there, not like a million or any of that. That was all complete rubbish. But he's not going to get very far. His voice is not going to carry, particularly if there's a wind that's blowing against him and basically blowing his words back towards the people on the platform. So what they would do is they would position people, wardens, at regular intervals in the crowd. They had copies of O'Connell's speech. So when O'Connell started, the first warden, so Pat Kenny, warden number one, would start, once he sees O'Connell starting, he would start reading the speech. And then a few rows further on is Miles Dungan, warden number two, and he starts reading the speech. So it's a kind of like a ripple effect going through the crowd. Now, I don't know, depending on the size of the crowd, obviously, you know, you could be 5 minutes behind by the time O'Connell finishes with, you know, warden number 75 at the back of the crowd. But that's how they managed to get the message across.
My goodness. And they get the exact message that O'Connell had written in his script, whereas O'Connell himself might have extemporized.
Yeah, O'Connell did. But this is the
few
thing.
Few rows get a different message.
He did extemporize. He would extemporize from time to time, and where he would extemporize would be something that might get him in trouble. But the actual text of the speech was what went into the Freeman's Journal or the Pilot the following day. Mm. So unless the government had somebody there taking notes, which they frequently did, he knew that he could get away with this. But he would, he would frequently toss these little asides into the speech just to provoke things.
Now, a couple of other things. The potato blight, which afflicted Ireland, turns out, I didn't know this, it afflicted most of Europe as well.
Oh, yes.
But they did not die in huge numbers like us.
Yeah, that is the key. The blight didn't just decide, okay, let's stop off here in this little island and let's cause complete havoc. No, the blight spread right across Europe. The only place, however, where you had a comparable experience to the Irish experience was in the Highlands of Scotland, which would have been socially and demographically very similar. But it was because of our huge dependence on the potato. The Irish, I mean, give you an example, right? There was a famine which would have been just as bad as what we call the Great Hunger or the Great Famine. That took place in 1741. And as many people died in that as died in the Great Famine. But you had a huge recovery in population, a very quick recovery in population, which you didn't have after the Great Hunger, after the famine. But that was because this vegetable, this potato, man can live by or woman can live by potato alone. And this allowed for a huge population increase. It allowed for farms to get smaller and smaller and smaller because you could still grow enough potatoes to keep yourself going on, you know, on a couple of acres. And that meant that there was this huge increase in population. But of course, when the blight affected the potato in Ireland, it had a devastating effect that it didn't have in other countries in Europe.
Now, lots of personalities throughout the book. Mother Jones is someone we won't talk about her today, but she's very interesting. She made her name in the United States. Mm. She was an agitator, grandmother of all agitators, she was dubbed. But I was fascinated by Anna Parnell, the sister of Charles Stewart Parnell. And he did her a great disservice.
Oh, he did her a terrible disservice. She became, along with her sister and others, people like Helena Maloney, for example, she became the leader of the Ladies' Land League, as it was called. And the Ladies' Land League was set up during the Land War, but became very, very important in October 1881, when the leadership of the Land League, including Parnell, were thrown into jail. They then took over the campaign. They ran the campaign. They looked after people. They looked after people who were evicted. And they also did things like they looked after the United Ireland newspaper, which was the main propaganda outlet. They looked after feeding the prisoners. And there were hundreds of prisoners in jails around Ireland. The difference was Anna Parnell was far more radical than her brother. So that made her dangerous to Charles Stewart Parnell when he came out. Because when he came out of Kilmainham jail, he had zero interest in prosecuting or continuing to prosecute the land war. The land war was over as far as he was concerned, and we're now moving on. Anna saw things differently, fell out with her brother. He immediately, or very, very quickly after he came out, disbanded the Ladies' Land League, accused them of rampant overspending, even though some of that spending had been feeding him and feeding him very well, thank you very much, in Kilmainham jail. They fell out. They never spoke to each other again.
Well, Miles, it's a terrific book. It's aimed at, 8 to 12-year-olds, but I enjoyed it enormously. Great illustrations from your collaborator, Alan Dunn.
Makes the book. It's beautiful. And thanks to Alan Dunn, it's so good.
And it's the latest in a series from Gill, The Great Irish Weather Book, The Great Irish Science Book with Luke O'Neill, Great Irish Farm Book with Darragh McCullough, Great Irish Politics Book with David McCullough. So it's great. Joanna Donnelly was the weather one. Mm. Really terrific and a worthy addition to the series, The Great Irish History Book. And Miles Dungan, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much indeed.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Back pain and stiffness made mornings rough.
Pain made it tough to sleep until I started Cosentyx.
Cosentyx secukinumab is the number one prescribed treatment for adults that targets IL-17A, a molecule that may play a role in inflammation that contributes to ankylosing spondyloarthritis or non-radiographic axial spondyloarthritis, two types of inflammatory arthritis of the spine. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
I got real relief with Cosentyx.